The youth vote and the 2020 election. Voters under the age of 30 make up more than a third of the U.S. electorate, and if they turn out to vote, they could have a significant impact on the election, including here in Maine. But in past years, young voters have been notorious for not going to the polls. Recent surveys, however, find that this year's election may draw a much higher than usual turnout from this demographic. I'm Cindy Hahn. Join me for a conversation about trends in youth voting, including obstacles to getting through the many steps of the voting process. We'll hear from representatives of the younger generation about getting engaged in democracy and from a national expert on voting trends. Is 2020 the year that young voters tip the scales in the election? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. This is Maine Calling, and I'm your host, Cindy Hahn. Today on the program, the youth vote and the 2020 election. My guests are Meg McCormick. She's the founder of Maine Students Vote and Maine director of the Campus Election Engagement Project. And Richard Fry. He's a senior researcher with the Pew Research Center. We invite your questions and comments. Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. And welcome to both of you today. Richard, I'm just going to start with you because you've been looking at the big demographic trends in voting, looking at past election years and different age groups. What can you tell us about young voters in previous years? How does this youngest 18 to 30 age group usually behave in terms of voting?
Yeah, so glad to be with you this morning. 18 to 29-year-olds, they are about 21% of those that are eligible to vote, age 18, a U.S. citizen, and their share of the eligible voters has held pretty steady since 2000. So certainly in terms of potential clout, it's there. But you don't sort of influence the outcome unless you actually turn out to vote. And that's sort of where traditionally 18 to 29-year-olds sort of squander some of their clout. Just give an example, 2016, overall, of all ages, 61% of eligible voters turned out to vote in the 2016 election. 18 to 29-year-olds, only 46% of them turned out. So they are the least likely to turn out. And as a benchmark, what would be a high turnout for 18 to 29s? Sort of the high water mark was 52% of 18 to 29-year-olds turned out in 1992, the Clinton-Bush matchup. And then in 2008, young adult turnout was pretty high as well at 51% in the Obama-McCain matchup, the first Obama election. So I would say for 2020, you know, if half of 18 to 29-year-olds turned out to vote, that would be pretty substantive.
Right. So it sounds like they usually don't clear half. It's been well under most years that this age group percentage-wise is voting. But then I understand this election year that there's a Harvard survey reporting 68% of young people say they will definitely be voting. Is this significant?
Clearly, sort of, if they what actually turnout is going to be, intentions versus actually doing it, and as we will probably talk later in the conversation, this 2020 election is sort of, you know, historically we're in a little bit in uncharted waters, holding a presidential election in the midst of a pandemic, at least in modern times. Again, if those intentions were actually realized, that would be quite high young adult turnout relative to historical patterns.
And you just mentioned some of the factors that are happening that are totally different this year from past years. But what there's a sort of a stereotype of young people being kind of apathetic and focused on their phones and their social media. What are some of the factors that are motivating young voters to at least say they're going to step up?
Predicting turnout, I've just sort of learned that the years that I've been looking at voter participation, predicting turnout is very, very difficult. We do have some Pew survey evidence on this, And young adult registered voters, as well as sort of all registered voters, it looks like in terms of as of late July, they were pretty interested in this election. Very large percentages of registered voters sort of said this election really matters. What we sort of see, particularly among the younger registered voters, is clearly their approval of Trump tends to be the least among registered voters. And also, I would say, younger registered voters sort of in our Pew surveys tend to think that government needs to step up and play a larger role as opposed to the business community and private individuals in solving the nation's problems. So there are indeed certain issues and attitudes that seem to motivate today's young adults.
Okay, interesting. And Meg McCormick, you're looking at all of this in Maine. Tell us about the work that Maine Students Vote is doing here.
Thanks, Cindy. Yeah, so we are working with college campuses and a handful of high schools on registering young folks to vote, but also really right now we're in the throes of getting out the vote. So as Richard mentioned earlier, there is a big gap between folks who have registered to folks in Maine who actually voted. In 2018, there were 71% of 18 to 29-year-olds were registered, but only 36% of that age group actually voted. But as Richard was mentioning, we're seeing a huge levels of engagement that we've never seen before. And I really think that is because young people, campuses closed down in Maine March 13th, I think, because of COVID. And they really were keen to observe on how the government responded to it. And they were also left out of the CARES Act. So I think that kind of triggered some engagement levels. And then also, I mean, we have to recognize the killing of George Floyd that triggered a national discussion of systemic racism and that led to protests, many organized by young people. And, I just wanted to also mention a poll over the summer by Tufts University, in which, we saw 83% of young people that polled believe that they have the power to change the country. And 50% of them said that they tried to convince other youth to vote. And that's what we're really focused on with Maine Student Votes, is the relational organizing on campuses. So the best folks to talk to students about voting are their peers, right? So those are some of the activities that we've been organizing all across Maine.
Sure. And in talking about students sort of realizing that they do have an impact or they can have an impact, some reports are naming Maine as one of the top states where young people's votes could have the greatest impact. Can you talk about in what ways that might be?
Yes. So definitely with our very competitive U.S. Senate race, that has, I think we're ranked as a place where maybe, I think we're placed third nationally, where youth could have a significant impact on that race, as well as our Congressional District 2 race. And I think folks, there isn't a lot of enthusiasm around the presidential candidates among young people. So I think voting down ballot has really motivated a lot of students to, get involved and planning to vote as well.
Okay, great. And Richard, do you have any numbers on how many young people have already participated in this election by either sending in their ballots or any kind of measure to see where we are right now?
No, I do not. I'm sorry. I'm not aware of any systematic collection on that point.
Okay. There's something you mentioned, Meg, I just wanted to follow up on, is that, or both of you said, there's the number who have registered and then the number who actually go all the way through the process. So obviously there's a little bit of a lot of obstacles in between those steps. So, Meg, I know that's what you've worked on quite a bit here, in that trying to figure out what those obstacles are and figure out what to do about them. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. It's often reported that students, there's a couple of reasons why students don't vote. They often get overwhelmed with the process. They're first-time voters, and, voting is a habit formed over time, right? So, if you haven't voted before, it seems like a scary process and whatnot. But a big reason why what we hear from students is that they may not know enough about who's running And they actually hold themselves to higher standards. So, you know, they don't feel informed enough to vote, whereas according to a Making Young Voters book that was published last year, older generations say that you should vote even if you're not even that, you're not that informed. So that's another reason. We also hear from rural youth that transportation issues were a problem, and then just getting like the proper forms for voter ID and proof of residency. That's kind of around registration, but getting to the polls, we are seeing, folks across the country voting early at unprecedented rates. So we'll see what the stats look like this year. But.
And you're working with campuses. So some of the colleges, mm-hmm. some of those obstacles you were describing, are colleges actually involved with helping students mm-hmm. actually get to the point where they've been able to submit their vote?
Well, the colleges, are actually legally responsible, according to the Higher Education Act, to make sure that voter registration is easy and accessible. So they work very closely. We work with a handful of campuses that work closely with their town clerks. And in doing so, that helps ensure, because a lot of folks who are living on residential halls don't have this proof of residency. They don't have mail getting sent to their dorm rooms. They don't have a lease agreement with their dorm rooms and whatnot. So that these colleges have worked really closely on getting folks registered. As far as getting out the vote, I mean, that's, something that we are working on. We are trying to have multiple touch points on campuses. So getting a college president to send out messaging around the election cycles and during certain milestones, especially, having faculty involved, adding voting information onto the syllabus, giving a unexcused absence on election day if folks want to go vote on election day. And then, as I mentioned earlier, having these multiple points, so also having, peers, talking to other peers. And it's kind of fun. A lot of our campuses are doing group walks down to the polls to vote early, and they talk to the town clerk. They say, hey, we have a group of X amount of people coming down, during your extended hours, and that seems to have worked pretty well as well.
Huh. Okay, thanks. And we actually have a college student to talk to right now. So joining us on the line now is Ludie Brown. She's a junior at Colby College and is the coordinator of Colby Votes, a nonpartisan student-led civic action group. Hi, Ludie. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about Colby Votes. What does your group focus on?
Mm-hmm. So we're our nonpartisan voter engagement group on campus. And like Meg was talking about, we work not only with students, but also with administration and faculty. Mm-hmm. So we have around a 40-person stakeholder group that leads the group. And we meet on Sundays at 5 p.m. over Zoom. But we also have now expanded through our peer-to-peer organizing model. So we have a whole captain's program and organizers there.
Okay. And I mentioned earlier, there's a bit of a stereotype about young people being kind of apathetic about getting involved. Mm-hmm. But from what you've seen, are many of your peers interested in voting?
Yes. People are excited. They're energized. And for a lot of students on campuses right now, this is our first presidential election that we're able to vote in. And we were all right around the cusp of the voting age when we saw what happened in 2016. So people are excited. And I think that this year is going to have historic youth turnout. So
that'd be great. A little different, yeah. And for those that you've talked with who don't feel like they want to vote, do you hear any common reasons?
Some folks aren't sure how far their vote will go, and that's when we have our conversations about the importance of local elections and voting up and down the ballot. So we have a lot of voter education seminars and information that we distribute that explains the importance of our votes as college students at the local level. Here in Waterville, or if people choose to vote at home in their state of origin.
Okay, and Meg just mentioned some of the ways that colleges, either the institution or the people there, the students, can help get over the blockades that make it difficult to actually mm-hmm. vote. So what are some of the things you're working on?
Mm-hmm. So we actually had a bit of a blockade in the spring of 2019, when our student votes were challenged by a few residents in the city of Waterville, but the Voter Registration Appeals Board asserted that we do have the right to assert our residency here and vote here. So from there, we now get these residency emails from the registrar originally, and now they're coming from the Office of Civic Engagement. And so when students go to register to vote, they have to we have to attach these emails that assert their proof of residency to their registration. So the way that Colby Votes has been working on it is we work with the administration to make sure that we are CC'd on all of those emails. Therefore, when students register to vote and fill out one of those green cards, we print them out for them and do the semi-tedious task of stapling them to every registration card and checking before we hand them into the city clerk to make sure that all students will indeed have the right to vote.
Wow, a lot of work there. That's great. And just looking sort of at the big picture, do you think, you hinted at this, but do you think that young people's attitudes and awareness in politics might just be changing in general?
Yes, for sure. I know that I've been really involved, and a lot of my friends have as well, all over campuses across the entire country. So students are starting to realize that we have a stake in our own future, and we have to make our voices heard, and we want to play a part in building our future. So students know that a great way to start is by voting and making sure our peers vote. And of course, there are more things to do further down the line.
But, well, great.
Yeah, people are excited.
Well, thank you, Ludi. It's great to hear from you. That was Ludi Brown, a junior at Colby and coordinator of Colby Votes. And Richard, I just want to turn back to you on something that came up about the fact that it is a close election, or in general, in close elections. Is this when you typically see among young voters or even other demographics? Is this typically when the numbers go up in terms of turnout?
Well, if you sticking with sort of the examples that I mentioned earlier, clearly in 1992, I'm old enough to sort of remember that, again, in the face of those sort of economic concerns, that was a pretty high turnout presidential election. And then again, sort of in 2008, possibly reflecting sort of the, you know, Obama being the first African-American president, again, turnout sort of surged. But the general trend sort of has been that not only among young adults, 18 to 29s, but just sort of the American public in general, I would say as a general statement, you know, turnout has been declining. Now, 2018 midterm election, that's sort of an exception to what I just said. Any number of factors play into, including the weather on election day, interest in the candidates, sort of the state of the economy. Turnout is difficult to predict. I do think, though, that you're right, that in this case, possibly sort of the perception that this is going to be a closely battled election may sort of give people more of a sense that their vote will indeed matter.
Okay, and what about the phenomenon this year of all this youth activism with the protests over racial justice? Is there a correlation there, too, that young people are participating in protests? Does that directly correlate between getting involved that way and getting involved with voting?
I don't know. I am not aware of any sort of direct evidence pointing between, you know, participation in the protests and sort of, you know, intentions to vote. We haven't looked at that.
Okay, well, we've got lots more to talk about, but we are going to take a quick break right now. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from AARP Maine, providing information on voting from home with absentee ballots, aarp.org/Maine Votes, by MEMC, with a mission to improve workforce safety and injury management and a goal of sending millions back to the Maine economy, and the law offices of Joe Bornstein, who believe that voting rights are the cornerstone of democracy. Learn more at vote.org/state/Maine.
The first debate was chaos.
The question is, radical left, will you shut up, man?
The second one was canceled after the president tested positive for the coronavirus. Now, former Vice President Biden and President Trump face off one last time before election night. I'm Ari Shapiro. Join us Thursday night for NPR's special live coverage of the presidential debate from NPR News.
Thursday night at 9 o'clock on both Maine Public Radio and Maine Public Television.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. We're talking about the role of young people in the 2020 election. My guests are Rick Fry, senior researcher with the Pew Research Center, and Meg McCormick, founder of Maine Students Vote. Share your comments or questions. Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call, 1-800-324-7900. 3993566. And we have another student calling in now. This is Theo Dekiak. He is a senior at Bowdoin College, where he's involved with the Campus College Republicans group. Thanks for joining us, Theo.
Hi, thank you, Cindy, for having me on.
Sure. And you've been involved also with encouraging other students to vote on campus. Tell me about what some of those efforts are.
Sure. So I've been working with the Maine GOP, mostly knocking on doors and just talking to students, just hoping to get the turnout out for this election.
Okay. So that kind of effort is often associated when you're going out after the youth vote, it's typically associated with Democrats, but you are with the college Republicans. Do you feel there's also a push on the Republican side to draw out youth votes?
I think we use a lot of youth volunteers to get out the vote, but not necessarily getting the youth vote. I think they use a lot of students to go knock on doors in the area. I think we're great labor for the Republican Party, but I don't think the youth vote is going to help the Republicans this time around.
Okay, so realistically, you're just trying to hit up anybody that, right.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to put it.
Okay, and what have you experienced as an actively involved Republican on campus?
Well, I can tell you that Bowdoin College is certainly not a conservative environment or even a moderate environment. It's definitely much more left-leaning.
Is it difficult for you in that way?
Sometimes, yeah. It's very difficult to actually talk about the issues. Because I think people are a bit too scared to really say what they think, especially in that environment.
Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, I mean, mm-hmm.
Yeah, from your peers that you've talked to, whatever left-leaning or right-leaning, do you feel like young people are more interested right now in getting involved in politics or civic engagement?
I think young people are very involved right now. I have seen so many of my friends join clubs like the Green New Deal Club, the Democrats Club, and it seems like young people really want to be involved this election cycle. And given that there are so many mail-in ballots, I think the young people will make it possible.
Okay. And have you run across anything that you find is a big challenge or a stumbling block for people, especially students who are interested in voting?
Well, so many students are registered to vote in Maine, but due to the pandemic, they're all at home. So I've heard from other students that they're not really sure where to register to vote. Mm-hmm. So that could definitely be a big stumbling block for the students.
Okay, Meg, actually, do you want to jump in on that? What do you tell people for that?
Yeah. Well, Bowdoin is one of the, almost all of the campuses in Maine reopened and invited all of their students back unless there was a concern about health issues and exposure to COVID. But Bowdoin is one of the only campuses that only invited their first year students back but didn't invite their upperclassmen. And so it has been difficult for students who have been displaced of COVID, and I know that you have Secretary Dunlap later this week, and this might be a question for him, but residency in Maine means a principal home, a place where you intend to come back, and so if you're displaced, you went to school in Maine, you established residency here, and you are displaced because of COVID, but you have an intention to come back, then you have an absolute right to vote in Maine if you want. And so I think Dio brings up a great point. There has been some confusion from students about where they should vote and what does establishing residency in Maine mean? And we see this on campuses, and especially we'll see in the next couple of weeks. So there tends to be disinformation campaigns that hit campuses right before the election trying to deter students to vote. So we often get flyers that say, if you vote in Maine, you know, this will affect your federal financial aid. It will affect your status on your parents' taxes or their health insurance. It may even affect your tuition status. And all of that's absolutely not true. And so I think our job on campuses and especially the campus itself has a responsibility to make sure that students have the information that they need and they feel confident in voting and they have this information before a disinformation or misinformation campaign hits their campus.
Okay. Well, we'll let Theo go now. Thank you for calling, Theo. Theo Dukiak is
thank
a
you
senior.
So much for having me.
Yep. Yeah, glad to talk with you today. He's a senior at Bowdoin. He's with Bowdoin College Republicans. So thanks. And something that, I mean, just the idea of the pandemic and its effects on voting. Again, looking even more broadly, Richard, at all demographics, what sort of effects has that had this year?
This is from a late July Pew survey of registered voters. And 49% of them said that it's going to be difficult to vote this year, mm-hmm. as opposed to, for example, before the 2018 midterms in October, only 15% of registered voters said it was going to be difficult. This is a presumption on my part, but clearly one suspects that having a national election in the midst of a pandemic, you know, is impacting those reported numbers. Democratic supporters, they tend to have more concerns and sort of, if you ask them about high issues, they will mention both, you know, sort of the handling of the coronavirus, and they'll also mention health issues in general, and they are the ones, 60% of them, reported that it would be difficult to vote this year. So I think, again, one issue in thinking about turnout in general this November is the context of the pandemic.
Sure. Changing everything. Lots of uncertainty. Well, we now have joining us on the line Gail Johnson. She's program coordinator for the League of Women Voters of Maine and Maine Citizens for Clean Elections. Gail, thank you for calling.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. And I understand that you work with high school students in Maine. What does that work entail?
Yes. Yeah. Right now I'm working with the League of Women Voters on their youth council project through their high school engagement project. And right now we're just putting together a coalition of youth, mostly in high school, who are interested in the election process, even if they're not eligible to vote. So through that, we have the Speakers Bureau, where people have the chance to talk to local clubs, like the Rotary Club, to get out information on this year's election and get out the vote in whatever way possible.
Okay, so even talking with the freshmen and sophomores that have a ways to go.
Yes, definitely. We encourage folks who even are still a couple years off from voting to get involved.
And I understand, is it with 17-year-olds, as long they were able to register as long as they turn 18 by November 3rd? Is that how it works?
Correct, yes. If you will be 18 by the election on November 3rd, you can register.
Okay. And from working with these students, what is your sense about the attitudes among these younger, these high school age students toward voting and getting involved?
Definitely. There's definitely a lot of excitement, especially about this election. There's a lot of on the ballot this election, especially here in Maine. Everyone seems really excited to get involved and talking to adults and talking to them about why they're passionate about voting and what this election process means to them. There's a lot of excitement among youth to also do education opportunities at their schools. So talking to teachers and their high school leadership programs to start programming around voter education.
Huh. This is a very educational moment in history right now.
Definitely.
I'm just curious, for those that you talk with, I mean, I'm sure you're running across some teenagers who are just like, I don't care and I'm not interested. What are some of the challenges that you've heard or obstacles to actually moving forward with voting?
Right. Yeah. We definitely hear a lot of concern of people feeling like their vote doesn't matter, doesn't count, especially with the Electoral College. But something that we try to remind folks is there's a lot more on the ballot besides just the presidential election. There are a lot of local seats on the ballot this year, and also policy questions that do come down to just a few votes often. And even with the presidential election, we do see that it does come down to a few votes, even with the Electoral College process. So just encouraging people to realize that their vote does matter and does count is really important and has been a great part of this process.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for calling in, Gail. Gail Johnson is with the League of Women Voters of Maine and Maine Citizens for Clean Elections. And we will go now to David calling in calling from Bucksport. Hi, David. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have been sort of a progressive political operative for about 41 years. I'm 61 now, but I've had the honor and pleasure of working this season with a candidate for the state legislature in my district 130, which is Bucksport and Orrington. He's 26 years old, and he is so ready to go to Augusta to represent a future that is something that I think young voters want to embrace. We've been door knocking, unusual in the pandemic, but he knocks on the door with a kayak paddle, so he's got good distancing when he knocks. And then we both step back about 10 feet. I have his campaign sign around my neck like a sandwich board. So when he introduces his name, I point to the name on my sign around my neck. And voters are ready to be engaged. When a young person answers that door, I just sit back and love watching this 26-year-old candidate speak to them about their importance of their vote. And so many of them will be up front and say they've never voted before and they're not planning on voting. He knows exactly what to say to engage them about the aspect of the importance of their vote for their future. So he talks about things like, long-term appointments to the Supreme Court, which is certainly a hot issue right now, but also things like health care and legalization of marijuana, women's rights, racial justice, which is hot button right now for most young people. And I've so been enthralled with his ability to get these young people to a place where they're willing to say to him that they will go register to vote because he's made it clear to them that it's about their future.
Okay, so great. Well, thanks, David.
Please engage with the young people in your lives. Convince them that this is about their future.
Thank you for sharing that. It's good to hear from you. Thanks, David. And one thing it comes up is this the maybe shifting attitudes among young people towards voting, and that there used to be maybe a stigma that it wasn't cool to vote, and it seems like that stigma has flipped, at least among, I know I have younger folks at home who find that it's not cool to not vote now. Is that a shift that's happened? Richard or Meg can jump in.
I can jump in real quick. I think the messaging has actually changed quite a bit. So now voting is cool is just kind of a given, right? And this started with Rock the Vote, I don't know, a decade ago. But now the messaging has changed quite a bit. So it's not just voting is cool, it's about the process. And we see a lot of organizations popping up, national organizations that have been engaging celebrities. When We All Vote, there's All In to Vote, there's lots of groups across the country. So now it's just not voting is cool, but do you have a plan to vote? Do you know how to vote? And here are the deadlines, and here's how to do it. So I think there's been quite a shift from, voting is cool to know how to vote, and that is also even cooler.
Richard, again, maybe give us some perspective on other generations from your research. Are there specific attitudes or voting habits among baby boomers that are really a contrast to younger voters?
Well, when you can either work with it generationally or you can work with it by age. And so, I mean, just generally what you're going to tend to find is when you sort of follow the voting patterns of a generation. Boomers, when they were young adults, they didn't participate particularly at high rates either. And then sort of as we followed them over the past 40 years, now they're sort of in their sort of prime voting age in terms of sort of turnout. So just sort of generally, it's been the pattern fairly consistently since the 1980s, when we get this data begins, that young adults don't turn out, but as the generation sort of matures, more and more of them do come out to vote.
Then those numbers we talked about at the top of the show in terms of percentages of young voters who do turn out, how does that compare to, say, the oldest group? What percentages do they turn out?
Okay, so they will be the boomers and even older than the boomers, the silent generation, those born between 28 and 45, You know, in 2016, for example, we said that sort of 61% was the national average. The boomers and silent generation will be turning out at rates well in excess of 65%. So, you know, more than two-thirds of them will turn out to vote, whereas, again, if we get less than half, or if we get at least half of 18 to 29-year-olds, that's very high turnout for 18 to 29. So this is sort of the general pattern we see.
Okay, great. Well, we are ready for a second break. We're just going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more of your questions and comments. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from MEMIC, with a mission to improve workforce safety and injury management and a goal of sending millions back to the Maine economy. By the law offices of Joe Bornstein, Maine lawyers committed to working for Maine people since 1974. Learn more at joebornstein.com. And AARP Maine, providing information on voting from home with absentee ballots, aarp.org/Maine Votes.
Frank Churchill, Oscar-winning composer for many Disney animated films, is born in Rumford on October 20, 1901. He wrote music for dozens of Walt Disney cartoons in the 1930s and early 1940s. Churchill contributed greatly to the success of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, released in 1937, producing a memorable song score that included the hits Hi-Ho, Someday My Prince Will Come, Whistle While You Work, I'm Wishing, and One Song. He received 5 Oscar nominations and shared the Best Original Score Award for Dumbo in 1941. His final score for Bambi, released in 1942, was completed by others after his death.
On This Day in Maine's History was created in partnership with the Maine Historical Society and made possible through the generous support of Marshall Communications. Happy birthday, Maine!
I'm Robin Young. When Peter Frampton released his mega best-selling Frampton Comes Alive, his looks made him a teeny bopper idol, but as he says in his new memoir, he always saw himself as a guitar player.
I think I am more expressive with my guitar playing than I am even with my singing.
Next time, Here and Now.
Coming up shortly after Maine Calling at 12 noon, here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Cindy Hahn, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on our program, the potential power of the youth vote in this election. Joining me, Meg McCormick with Maine Students Vote and Richard Fry with the Pew Research Center. Join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. And now we have calling in Vivian Burnham. She's a member of the Steering Committee of Youth Work Makes the Booth Work. Hi, Vivian. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you so much for having me today.
So tell me a little bit about what it is you do.
Well, with my work with Youth Work Makes a Booth Work, it's essentially trying to get more youth involved in poll working in the upcoming election. I'm actually going to be a poll worker on November 3rd from 8 to noon in Berwick, and I'm very excited about that.
And what age group are you working with, and how old are you?
Well, I'm actually 17 years old,
okay.
And I won't actually be 18 by the election. You can be a poll worker at 17, which I think is really great. I know that a lot of people in the Steering Committee of Youth Work Makes the Booth Work, there are a few of us who have been able to be poll workers, but a lot of us haven't been able to get traction within our own communities because one of the great reasons is, like, there have been so many volunteers who've been willing to be poll workers that they don't need extra people. And some of the not-so-great reasons, which is, like, they don't perhaps want a younger person to be a poll worker or can't find a place for them.
Wow. So this is it's great that you're getting involved so early. Do you see this as kind of a civics class, like a learning experience, or are you just really motivated to help out?
I think it's a little bit of both for me, because I started with all these efforts in early spring this year, and I've learned so much about information about just how important the youth vote is. You know, I've always been personally a political activist and very motivated to spread that change and to be the voice of maybe my age group. And the work that I've been doing has motivated me even more so and really given me the tools and the information to support the things I'm saying and to reach out to a broader audience in a more meaningful way, which I think is really great.
Are you unusual among teenagers that aren't even voting age yet? Do you feel like this is a thing now?
Well, honestly, the peers that I'm really close with, you know, I'm in AP Gov, and there are certainly many people who are like-minded in the sense that they're very interested in politics and they want to make a change because they realize how much it can impact their future. You know, we were all the generation where we were in middle school when the 2016 election happened. And I know that was meaningful to a lot of my peers, and it certainly spurred a lot of people to be more involved in politics, at least the people that I know. And I think it really matters to them this upcoming election. We certainly talk about it a lot in my AP Gov class. You know, I talk about it with my peers, you know, just socially. It's not something that's situational. It's something that really matters to us and we think is really important. You know, even if we can't vote, we're concerned and we really want to have the right changes affected in our democratic society.
Well, that's great. So good to hear from you. That was Vivian Burnham. She's with Youth Work Makes the Booth Work. Thanks for calling, Vivian. And we'll go to a question now, or this is an email from Lucy. And she says that I've been eligible to vote for the past half decade or so, but I remember when I was new to voting, there was no emphasis on the importance of local elections among my peers. Many of my friends only felt like they needed to vote during presidential elections. For all the young voters out there, the local elections are just as important as presidential elections. Mm-hmm. I wish someone had told me that when I was 18. Any comments about that, Richard or Meg?
Well, I think her observation is correct, at least nationally. Turnout tends to be significantly higher for presidential elections than, say, for the off-year midterm elections. I can't comment on sort of participation in even lower level elections, but generally, in terms of sort of, you know, presidential versus, you know, congressional midterm elections, turnout is substantially higher across the age ranges.
Okay. And we have an email from Emmanuel for Meg, and he says, I have heard from the Election Protection Director for the state, Sadie Foucher, that proof of residence is not a requirement for registration, that you could be homeless and be able to vote, and that people can swear an affidavit that they are Maine residents if they don't have proof of residence. This should make it easier to register.
Yes, Emmanuel, and I know that, for homeless folks, they can go into the town clerk's office and register to vote by, swearing in an oath and, like, declaring where their residency is, if that's just the corner of a street or, you know, what have you. And that's fine, but we do, you know, part of our work is trying to make sure that all students in Maine have a proof of residency. Actually, we piloted a very interesting program with high schoolers too, because they often don't, and as well as some community colleges, they don't have a proof of residency easily available. So we sent them a voter registration card, a absentee ballot request, and a letter from their school. And the envelope that it came in was their proof of residency as well. So we're trying to be a little bit more creative, and that was accepted by almost all town clerks. And so, you know, we are being a little bit creative of how we can provide proof of residency easily to students in Maine. But you're completely right. You can go in and if you're homeless and sign an affidavit saying declaring residency wherever that may be.
Okay, good to know. We will go now to Claire calling from South Portland. Hi, Claire. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to say that I think one of the biggest things that could improve the rate of youth voting would be to change the voting age to 16. And the reasons I think that it should be changed to 16 are, first of all, it makes sense in terms of fairness. Young people at 16 are working. very often. They can work, they can drive cars, they can do a lot of really responsible things. Psychologically or cognitively, they're well into the age of reason. And the arguments against it are things like they might vote like their parents, but everybody votes like somebody else. I mean, people are influenced by others in lots of things. So I don't think that's a valid argument at all. And finally, the most important reason in favor of it is that if young people were to start voting at 16, they would learn to vote while still at home. And, you know, most people do live at home. They're going to the same school every day. It would become a giant civic lesson. However, having the voting age at 18 is often a time when young people are moving. They're in a different location. They're trying to figure out how to start their next phase of life. There's already a lot of big changes happening frequently at that age. So I think starting at 16, we would really get people, we would train them to vote. And it would be a benefit to our society and help strengthen our democracy.
Right.
So
thanks.
Give them their vote at 16.
Sure, Claire. Thanks for bringing this up. And Richard, this has come up frequently as a discussion, both here and in other countries. And what is your take on that?
Well, I am aware that in this, the 16-year-olds are eligible to vote, I believe, in sort of certain local elections and local issues. As far as at the national level, it's an interesting question. I think the caller made some persuasive arguments, but again, in terms of sort of the Pew Research Center, I have no sort of overall opinion on the merits of the matter.
Sure. Okay. And Meg?
And you can pre-register to vote at 16 here in Maine. I don't know if that was previously discussed, but you can pre-register, but you can't vote. So I agree with the caller. I think, you know, civics really, I mean, we have to look at civics taught through, you know, from K through 12. And I think a lot of us learned about the different branches of government maybe when we were in middle school, and we didn't have any applicable knowledge of it or any opportunities to have that experiential learning. So volunteering to be a poll worker like your previous caller, or to engage with a campaign or talk to their peers who may be 18 and eligible to vote. So I really think this is a conversation of how can we revitalize civics. Because I think, I saw a poll a couple of years ago, and they rated all the jobs in the U.S. and being part of your local government, and also actually at the Senate and congressional level, it almost ranked last. So I think we need to have take a fine tooth comb here and look at like what we're teaching ourselves at school and how can we engage the next generation of voters.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your question today, Claire. We also have an email from Gina, and she says, regarding today's discussion about the youth vote, my 20-year-old niece in another state, voting in her first presidential election, said she wished she had been more tuned in to the importance of voting during the primaries, which she did not do. Mm-hmm. So then young people are stuck, not liking the choice. This suggests that educating and motivating young people should start at an earlier stage in the process. So something we've touched upon already today. And then we also, let's see, have an email from Cynthia. Please ask the youth about their issues. I have not heard the climate crisis mentioned, but had thought that as a priority among youth. And Meg, working with those, you're surrounded by young people, is that something that's come up frequently?
Yes, definitely. So the top issues really are systemic racism and the environment, and then affordable health care. And we saw a shift from this in the midterms as well. So those are the top three reported issues. And I do think folks are really looking, you know, they see themselves as, you know, having some, you know, sort of power and then thinking to the future as well. And so, of course, climate change and environmental issues fall into that.
Okay. And Richard, you touched upon this earlier, but how much do issues matter in motivating people to actually step up and vote?
Oh, I think clearly it's one of the factors influencing turnout. U.S. turnout is difficult to predict, but clearly what the issues are, who the candidates are, a myriad of factors, including the issues, influence turnout.
Okay. And one thing I heard about, too, is that social media has played a larger role in this election in terms of getting out the vote. Facebook, Instagram, I think Snapchat. Do either of you have anything, have any numbers or have something to comment on about the role of social media in reaching young people?
I think I will defer to Meg on that. I am not aware of any survey evidence that we directly have on social media and getting out the vote turnout.
And I only have anecdotal. Yeah, I only have anecdotal evidence, but we are seeing, in almost with the Gen Z folks, we're slowly doing our programming on Instagram. So, but there has been, every time you sign in to Facebook or Instagram, there is a flag of, voting information, which is generally great. I love that. Just because Maine doesn't have online voter registration, a lot of these, if you want to check to see if you're registered, if you want to find, your extended hours at your polling place, et cetera, I would actually call the town clerk's office just because some of that national information, while it raises the visibility and awareness of the election, I would try to, contact your local town clerk to make sure that you have that information is correct. But we are primarily promoting all of our work through Instagram, and I know other folks are doing TikTok and all that other stuff. But we have seen, especially with celebrities and other national organizations, they are really targeting youth through social media.
Right. Okay. And here's the sort of future looking in the crystal ball type question for both of you. Do you expect that this is just a fluke in terms of young people being fired up at this moment in time with the pandemic, with the polarized politics and the racial justice movement? And so they're fired up to vote this time around? Or do you foresee a change in youth activism overall into the future? Richard.
I think sort of the long-run factors, there's conflicting factors. Among young adults, they're increasingly educated than previous generations were. And generally, as we're already seeing in today's calls, college-educated individuals tend to be more politically active. So that suggests that we will get greater youth participation because they are increasingly going to college and finishing college. What we haven't talked about is the growing racial ethnic diversity of today's young voters. More Hispanic, more Asian, those are groups, regardless of age, that tend to be less likely to vote. And so sort of the changing racial and ethnic contours of young adults sort of lean against greater voter participation. So I can give you contrasting demographic forces that are impacting on this.
Okay. And Meg, just 20 seconds, what's your take on that?
No, I think we're in an upward trend of activism, and I think it's going to really embed in the culture of participating in democracy. And I think colleges are realizing that they have a significant role. I think high schools and K through 12 are realizing it as well. And as we mentioned earlier, in the midterms, why may have there been an uptick? We'll look at the Parkland shooting in 2018. So I think young folks are I think there's more materials, easy access materials and resources to young people to connect who we are electing to office.
Okay.
And how do those policies affect us?
Thank you so much. Yeah. We're out of time. Thank you both for joining us. That's Richard Fry with the Pew Research Center and Meg McCormick with Maine Students Vote. Our sound engineer was Sandra Harris. And we have a quick reminder about the Maine public debates, the congressional debates, tonight and Thursday at 8 p.m. I'm Cindy Hahn. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.